All right, let's see here. Go, if you will, please, to 1 John, and stand with me, please. 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. This is a marquee verse. This is a stapled verse. This is a verse of doctrine that we Baptists love to cling to. Look what it says here. Every Christian ought to memorize this verse. The Bible said in verse number 7, chapter 1 of 1 John, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how many sins?" Say that one more time. How many sins? How many believe we have a God that can forgive every sin? Even the hard ones? Even the ones we don't like to... we get infuriated about when somebody else commits it. Sometimes we're good about looking at everybody else's sin. But God is capable to forgive all sins. A-double-L. Every sin. I want to preach on a complete remedy for sin. It doesn't mean you're sinless. It just means God has a way of taking care of every sin that you have. And thank God for His remedy. And by the way, did you notice? It's only by the blood. There are a million ways you can sin, but there's only one way you can be forgiven for it. I can't forgive your sin. Nobody else can. But only the blood of Jesus, God's Son, can forgive your sins. So let's listen while we think about this wonderful promise of the Bible, a complete remedy of sin. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless this morning. Lord, we love You. We ask You, Lord, to be with us in a mighty way. We ask You, Lord, to have Your way in our every heart here this morning. And thank You, Lord, that You can encourage us through forgiveness of sin. Thank You for Your blood. Thank You for salvation. Use, I pray, this message, Lord, something we may hang on to for the rest of our life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I love the three portions of this verse. We could preach and have long series and long understandings of the three different segments of the verse. One says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. We're supposed to be Christians that walk in the light. You're supposed to be a light bearer. We know He's the light. But He tells us that we're the light of the world. And we're supposed to bear that light. I wish I could stay there, but I don't have time. I've got too much to say. But everybody ought to try to be a light for Christ. And then the Bible said, we have fellowship one with another. The grandest people on the face of the earth are God's people. I don't think we're any better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. But it's wonderful to have fellowship, isn't it? It was great to hear your pastor say the choir got to sing today. And that's a milestone in these days that we're living in. It's a wonderful privilege to be in church. It's a tremendous thing to know that God saved us. And the Bible said we, as God's people, can have fellowship one with another. I love the fellowship of God's people. I may not know you, but if I meet you, sometimes I don't forget you. And that's the fellowship of God. That's the fellowship of God's people. The last portion of the verse is what I want to preach on this morning. The Bible said, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for His redemptive blood? His atoning blood. His cleansing blood. His redeeming blood. The Bible said that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Who is us? They are those of us that are saved. The redeemed bride of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. All sin, that's a promise. Aren't you glad you're saved? Because you wouldn't have that remedy without being saved. You wouldn't have that remedy without the blood of Christ being applied. It is the only cleansing agent for your sin. It is the only redemptive agent for sin. It is the only remedy for sin. Thank God, my friend, that we have been saved. It's a complete remedy, this blood of Christ. Let me give you five P's about it this morning. Number one, because it is the blood of Christ and it's a complete remedy, because the Bible did say all, A-double-L, did it say that? All sin. Number one, then He is able to forgive all your past sins. Because of the blood of Christ, all the past sins are under the blood. All the past sins are gone. Not some of them. Not half of them. Not the ones you still remember, but all of them. All of them, even the ones that's just still hard to give to God. God says, I've forgiven them. The day you came to Calvary, the day you got saved, God washed every sin under His blood. Every one of them. Do you believe God's capable of doing that? I wish today that I could give you and wash away the guilt of every sin. But that's not possible for humans. But it is with Christ. He can wash away the guilt of your sin. I wish I could make you feel better because of sins committed, but I can't do that. I wish that I could take the spot of sin away, the stain of sin away. I wish it could be gone forever, but I can't do that. But the blood of Christ can. All sin, not some of them. And I don't care if you're the hardest criminal on earth. I don't care if you're someone that everybody hates because of your past sin. Jesus said, I'm willing to forgive you. I believe with all my heart that He can save a drunkard with a beer can in his hand. I believe He can save a murderer while he's blowing the smoke off the barrel. I believe He can save a prostitute in her ring of prostitution. He's God enough through His blood to forgive all sin. All sin. Now, it didn't give us a license to sin. We just can't sin and sin and sin and sin because we've been saved. God deals with us as unto children. And He takes care of the sins of the past when we're saved. As a matter of fact, He gave a lot of promises about it. He said in Isaiah 44:22, He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. Amen. Blotted them out. There's something wonderful that the Lord can't do with His, through His blood. He can't see your sin through His blood. Now, He's capable of remembering every sin. He's capable of bringing every sin back up. But He said, I promise this. When you get saved, I'll blot out every sin like a thick cloud. Like a thick cloud. I was with the pastor and his wife last night, and it got to raining hard. And the pastor said, I could barely see. And that's kind of like what the Lord does. He's put that shield up in front of us, in front of Him, that no matter what your sin was of the past, He's blotted them out. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that He's put them in the deepest sea. They say the deepest place in the Atlantic is 5 miles deep. They said the deepest place in the Pacific is 7 miles deep. I've done a lot of flying in my life. I've flown over 2 million miles. That's not my driving time. That's just flying time. I've been at this thing as a gypsy for 45 years. I've been to all kinds of foreign countries. Been all over the world. And I've flown over all kinds of large ocean body waters. Bearings, the Bering Straits, the Mediterranean, both the Gulf and the Atlantic and Pacific and on I could go. You name the big ocean body waters, and I've probably been above it by airplanes. And every time I look down and see nothing but water from a little window of an airplane, this is the verse I think of. He's buried my sins in the deepest sea. Now, you'd have a hard time with all the technology of the world getting that deep, 5 miles deep in the ocean to find your sin. Or 7 miles deep in the ocean to find your sin. God said, it's gone. And you're not going to find it because I buried it. Another verse that He talks about, He tells us that He's blotted out our transgression. He cannot remember them anymore. Psalm 79 and verse 80, He can't remember them. Now, God can remember anything. But the Bible said when it comes to your sin, He can't remember your sin. Your transgressions and sins are gone, He says. They're gone. So thank the Lord, my friend. He made us wonderful promises about our past sin being gone. A second thing. You with me this morning? Say amen. And that is the blood of Christ and the complete remedy of it, of your sin, means He's taking care not only of your past, but He's willing to take care of your present sins. I know what you're saying. I have a lot of problems with my sin. And pinch yourself. As long as you're in the flesh, it doesn't care who you are, save the lost. You're going to have trouble with sin. Your present sin. But he's willing to forgive your present sins. The sins that you commit right now. In World War II, our armed services and our boys were handed the Gideon Bible, a New Testament. And they were to keep it on their person. I wish we'd get back to some of that again. But one guy took a bullet, and through all the fires, the gunfire that was going on, he took a bullet, and this is a true story. That bullet hit that Bible, that New Testament, and it did not pierce his body. And he got up off the ground. It knocked him to the ground. He got up off the ground when it was all said and done, when it was all over. And he looked at that hole in that New Testament, and he said, not only did this Bible save my life, but at that same point, he dropped to his knees and he asked Jesus to save him, because he knew that God could save him if he just trust him. Right beside him, there was a good friend of his that took a bullet, and he paid the ultimate sacrifice. He passed away. He had that New Testament in his hand on the ground. And his finger pierced or separated the pages, and it was in the verse that you read a while ago. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. A true story. Now, I don't know if he got saved, but I know one thing. If he trusted that verse, I don't care if it was in a split second, God saved him of his present problem of being lost. And God can save anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place, if they'll come to the blood of Christ. It is the only redemptive power known to man. And if it hadn't been for Jesus coming all the way from heaven for my sin, finding me. He was looking for me the day I got saved. And he was looking for you the day you got saved. And if you're lost this morning, he can still save. He still has the power to save anybody, regardless of your sin. Don't let your sin keep you from being saved. The number one problem of every person who's rejected Christ, the reason why they still are lost, the reason why they won't get saved, is S-I-N, sin. But Jesus said, I can save you in your present sin. Number three, not only will he save us from our past sin and our present sin, and not only can he forgive us from those, but he can forgive us of our possible sins. May I ask you a question? Were anybody here alive during Calvary? No. But he said he died, talking about Calvary, for the sins of who? The world. The world. That was before you were born, before I was born, before anybody in this generation was born. Way back when, he was willing to go to Calvary, and he said, I'm doing this to save men from their sins. And he shed his blood. And by the way, that blood today is still redemptive blood at the mercy seat in heaven. It's still fresh blood today. It's still saving blood today. I know what you say, Brother Taylor, I'm still alive. I've still got problems. I still suffer from sin. I still have things that drag me down and things that make it hard for me to get saved. Friday night, I was shocked. The pastor got up when he introduced me, and he said, Brother Taylor, you may not know this, but he said, I got saved one night when you were preaching. And he's a pastor today. But it wasn't me that did the saving. It was Jesus that did the saving. This man had been to Bible college. This man was already a pastor. But he fell under conviction in a service like this. And he found out he needed Christ to save him. He was lost. And we can hide behind the facades. And we can hide behind barriers. And we can make ourselves believe that we did something we didn't do. And by the way, if you're saved, that couldn't make you feel lost. If you're saved, I couldn't make you want to be lost. Because when you're saved, you know God does the saving. Amen. And the Bible said he can forgive you of all sin. The sin of your past, the sin of your present, and the sin of your possible sins. You know, I've often said that sin is kind of like the measles. Once you get it, it just spreads all over you. Amen. So is salvation. It's kind of infectious, isn't it? I mean, when you get saved, folks kind of know it. Folks kind of believe that, hey, he really meant it. He really got saved. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is this. I believe because he has a remedy of all sin, you can have the help of the power of your sin. The power of your sin. If you don't think sin is powerful, may I remind us all that it only takes one sin to destroy your entire life. Every day for the rest of your life, one sin could destroy your life. That's the power of sin. That's why Jesus came. That's why he became our Savior. That's why he shed his blood. He knew the only way. Even if we're condemned to our sin, have to be judged because of our sin, he knew that he could save us from the power of it. I grew up in the days where there were no seat belts. Anybody with me on that? And we turned out all right. There's nothing wrong with us. Some politician made the laws to put seat belts on kids and made them prisoners while they drive down the road. We had station wagons. Anybody remember the station wagon days? My daddy had a big, long, I call it the yellow submarine. And that's back when they didn't have bucket seats in the front. They had bench seats in the front, bench seats in the middle, and bench seats in the back. And that third seat was turned where you could see the crowd that was behind you. You faced the traffic behind you. I grew up in a family of five children. Two boys and two girls. Apart from myself, there'd be three boys altogether. And my dad, I mean, when we got to messing around, seat belts or no belt, I called him the long arm of the law. Somehow he could reach from the front steering wheel to where I sat. I don't care how, he could get me. He could find me, he'd grab me by the nape of the neck, he'd drag me and throw my old sorry carcass up on the front bench seat of the car. And boy, he'd let me have it. And if tongue lashing wasn't enough, he'd pull the car over. Right there in front of God and everybody, all these cars. I grew up in Dallas County, Texas. I mean, there were cars, just mass people everywhere. He didn't care. I think parents had this kind of contract with each other back in those days. He pulled over, he dragged me out of the car, he pulled out that belt. Pop, 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 pop. I learned to dance on the side of the highway. He'd tear into me, and folks would just, ha, ha, ha. I thought they was feeling sorry for that poor kid. But you'd hear him scream out the window, give me one for me. Now, you don't do that at the parking lot of Walmart nowadays, because now they've got cameras up everywhere. Big Brother's watching. Amen. You don't want to do that. But they tempt you because they put the candy at the checkout aisles and all the kids go crazy. Right at the checkout. I learned a long time ago, back before seatbelts, I learned that your sin can condemn you and put you in a bad way. Sin has power. It can destroy you. It'll make your life miserable. It splits up marriages. I talked to a young man who came to the altar Friday night. He wanted to surrender. There were 10 young men that surrendered to full-time service Friday night. He wanted to surrender his life. He said, can God use me? I said, sure he can. I didn't ask him who he was. I didn't ask him what his past was. I said, sure he could use you. There are ways God could use you. He'll never use me. Those are my words. He said, I'm a Marine. He said, when I went out for a tour, I was married under 1 year. I came home to my wife who served me divorce papers. He wept and cried. He said, are you sure God can use me? I said, yes, he can. Brokenhearted? I mean, weak spiritually? I said, son, God could use you right now, regardless of the power of sin. God can use you. Do you still believe God could use you? Then the last point is this. Still with me? Say amen. By the way, I kind of get a little upset at these folks that believe that they're sinless perfection. Don't tell me you believe in sinless perfection, because I can make you sin in about 5 minutes. If you were on an island somewhere and you couldn't get off, you were stranded, and I was willing to come and try to help you, but I had this billfold in my pocket full of important papers and cards and whatever else. If there were two men standing beside me, and one was the guy that believed in sinless perfection, and another guy that knew he was a sinner, but God saved him. And one guy said, well, you know, I can't sin. I'll hold your billfold for you. You can trust it with me. I can't sin. And the other guy said, by the grace of God, if God will help me, I'll have that billfold ready for you when you get back. You know who I'd take charge of that billfold? The guy that believed by the grace of God, he'd be there and he'd do the right thing. Rather than that guy that says, well, I can't sin. I'm here to tell you, my friend, you will sin. And the power of sin will still destroy you. I don't care if you're saved or lost. One will condemn you for eternity. The other will ruin your life until you see Jesus. Take rewards away that you need to lay before Jesus' feet. The last one is this. There's a complete remedy for past, present, and possible, and the power. And the last is this. There's a complete remedy for the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Oh, listen to me. I didn't say it, but I'm sure glad it's printed in the Bible. Jesus said, he'll save me from hellfire itself for all eternity. Take me to heaven when I die. You know there's a penalty for sin if you're saved or if you're lost. If you're lost, it's hell. If you're saved, it's chastisement. There's scourging. There's a sin unto death, premature death. That's for a saved man to stay close to the Lord and to know your sin and to get right about it. But this thing called the penalty deals with a lost man's sin. And we read about it, and there have been people die and drop off into hell ever since mankind. And they're still there. They'll only get out one other time. At the great white throne judgment, they'll face the Lord, be called out of hell, and only to hear the Lord say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, listen to me. I would hate for anyone to die lost, let alone to hear the Lord tell you at the great white throne, you'll go there forever and forever and forever and forever. But if you're saved, you have the promise that even God could take the penalty away. Amen. Bob Jones would draw crowds of thousands when he spoke. He was the one that created and was the founder of Bob Jones University. Bob Jones said he had a revival. He was an evangelist as well. He said he had a revival in the hills of Tennessee. Remote, depressed area. And they had one little schoolhouse that would open and shut and open and shut and open and shut. Teachers would get discouraged and they couldn't keep any teachers in the building. Just because of the problems of the poor economic area of the hills of Tennessee. It's a true story. I'll see if I can tell it like he told it. He said that one day a little lady, a little frail frame of a lady, came to be the teacher in this town that he was preaching and holding revival. And she asked if all the parents that would be interested in having their kids go to the little schoolhouse, come and meet with her, and they would talk about what to do and how to make the schoolhouse survive. She got on the chalkboard before they arrived, and she wrote all the crimes that a a student could commit, and then she put down the penalty beside it. Thou shalt not steal. And the penalty, 20 lashes, no coat. And on it went. She had everybody, all the parents there, to sign on to agree that this is what they would do. And she would try to teach those children, try to give them a good behavior. One day in class with these students in the room, somebody yelled out above the crowd, "Somebody stole my lunch. Where's my lunch? I don't have my lunch. Anybody know where my lunch is at? Somebody took my lunch." Teacher said, "Are you sure?" "Yes, after what we've just been through and all the rules that we've just gone through, somebody stole your lunch?" "Yes, I don't see my lunch." And the teacher reminded him, "Look at the first rule, thou shalt not steal. 20 lashes, no clothes, no coat on." It was cold, it was fall, it was cold in the little house, the little schoolhouse. And finally, a little boy raised his hand, little Jimmy. He said, "I took the lunch." And she said, "Oh, not you, of all people. This will be the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Jimmy, why did you steal the lunch?" Big old tears swell up in his eyes, and he said, My mom is poor. Daddy walked out of the home. She's tried to provide for the family. We don't have anything to eat. I'm telling you, we have nothing to eat. And I was hungry. And I took the lunch. And I'm guilty." And she began to cry herself. And she said, "Well, you know the rule. Your parents signed on to it." And about that time, the guy who said, "Somebody stole my lunch," said, "Don't whip Jimmy. Give me the lashes. We have money, we have food, we bring food to the school every day, but he doesn't have anything. He's telling you the truth. He doesn't have a thing." Ladies and gentlemen, years ago, many, many years ago, on a hill called Calvary, my substitute, who took my place, died for me at Calvary. Little Jimmy took an old rusty clothespin and would begin to fumble around with it. He said, "I'll take 20 lashes. Don't make me take my coat off." "I'll take 30 lashes. Don't make me take my coat off." She said, "You know the rule." He fumbled around, got that rusty clothespin undone, and he dropped that, had an overcoat, a top coat. He dropped it, and he was bare-skinned from the waist up. Just like a little skeleton, bony and poor. And in my sin years ago, lost and helpless, the Lord saved me at the age of 7. Can I tell you, my friend, He can take care of your past, your present, your possible, the power, and the penalty of your sin. Shall we stand, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A complete remedy for sin. A complete remedy for sin. On Sunday morning, may we all remember that we can be forgiven. Isn't it wonderful to be forgiven? Isn't it wonderful to have a substitute, somebody to say, "I took your place"? All our heads are bowed, no one looking. How many this morning say, "Brother Taylor, I've been saved. Thank God I'm saved. I couldn't die lost because I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die." Hold that hand way up high. Let me see it. Wave it to heaven. Lord likes a hand waving. God bless you. Put your hands down. Would there be anybody here say this morning, "Brother Taylor, I couldn't raise my hand. I really don't know for sure if I've been born again. I have my doubts about it. But I don't want to chance it. I don't want to die lost. If He can save me for all sin and every sin, I'll be willing to trust Him for it. I want Him to save my soul. I don't know I'm saved, but I need to be." Hold your hand way up high. Hold your hand up. I need to be saved. I couldn't raise my hand a while ago, but I need to. I need to be saved. Anybody like that? Hold your hand up. Anybody? Anybody? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, "Brother Taylor, these points applied to me, all of them"? And you say, "I need to have a better account with Christ. I need to stay closer to the Lord. And I need to make sure the blood is applied to my sin every day of my life. Before I put my head to pillow at night, before I close my eyes to sleep, I need to make sure my sin is under the blood. I'm saved and I know it, but I need to keep a clean account with the Lord. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Father, bless now. Bless this invitation. Help us, I pray today. Help us, Lord, to remember that the blood can cleanse all sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, you come.